Rinpoche wishes everyone Tashi Delek. It's a traditional Tibetan greeting. And along with his wishes for a good morning, he also wishes for all of you students here at Naropa Institute that through your studies and through your contemplation, your reflection, and through your meditation, that your wisdom will deepen and grow, and that through that you will be able to benefit limitless sentient beings.
You think that?
Good morning. It's my pleasure to introduce to you Kempo Sultran Gyamsa Rinpoche, who is an old friend of Naropa Institute.
Yes, yes.
He first visited the Institute in the 80s, probably 1984, and has come back periodically over the years and has watched us grow and expand. Rinpoche is a wonderful friend and wonderfully exemplifies the essence of Tibetan Buddhism in the way that he completely and naturally joins great learning, as exemplified by the degree of Kempo, which is the highest degree in monastic training in Tibetan Buddhism. He is one of the senior Kempos of the Kagyu lineage of Tibetan Buddhism. And so he is a man of great learning. And he also has spent many years in meditation and retreats in graveyards and charnel grounds and such, and so he exhibits the unique joy that is very common of such practitioners. So he completely combines the practice and study sides of Naropa Institute and is in some ways a continuing emanation of our namesake, Naropa. So we are very happy to have him with us today, and who knows what he will say.
Yeah, that lo tan irve, lo tan
irve. Is there a song? We're gonna sing a song.
Yeah, sing a song.
Sing a song.
Yes.
There are extra copies. Do people need? We have extra copies if people would like.
What did?
People have been practicing a little bit, so okay.
Quran Sultan ki. Come on the way.
I think, well, I'll sing along. Or do you, would you like? Whatever you'd like, what would you like?
And that That's why definitive certainty means so much. The meditation freed up relaxation. Risk getting lost in just being settling. If original wisdom does not emerge on the inside, you might settle steadily, but this will not set you free. But wisdom does not come of dullness and agitation. And that's why non-wandering mindfulness means so much. This conduct continual flow without attachment. Risk getting lost in just me being a pretense. If the view and meditation are not included, the eight worldly dharmas may mix with your yogic pursuits. And that's why not having attachments and veils means so much. Fruition as nakedness stripped of every defect. Risk getting clothed in the garments of attributes. If delusion is not overcome from its source on the inside, your practice may aim very far, but fall very short. And that's why correcting delusion means so much.
Good.
Kanji Toma Unda Meji, Sanji Nira Nam Sanji, Sanji Nena Mato Do Sanji Nita Balandu. Chinji Raja Dorjin Jono, Dunga Nyoga Jo Zeche, Naso Tata Jiko Te Son Tsukwa Jing Tse Te La. Kanji Mimi Yomi, Yemi Mayi, Yemi Lei Jin Tang, Tapar Mene Ngi Tse Tang Ra So So Rang Kere Kyo. Jimi Yishi Vezir Nang De Mi Kwa Kan La Cha Kwa. Dang dang rao ram nam paran jom tse tam ju ni ma de la du. Sim de ran se va zir ve na ni mo ngo wo me zik. Kan dang ro kan dang men ta xe an ta to na tam tse. Zo pa san che che jo zi pa tri pa me pe lo nga wa. Sim che nam ta ta ye chi yi shi si nga de la du. Ro kan che se zon pa chen le zon pe che pe che chi yi ngay.
Hola, so Tam, Taye, but Simtin, Tam Jeje, Tondo Jobe Sanjeje, Comparan Budget Jobarasa, Teiche, the Tambachula, Tosan Goms from December, Jewanyambe, Samba Sanjo, the Tokje Banganda Dan December.
So before listening to teachings this morning, please give rise to pure altruism, to what's called bodhicitta, and that is that for the sake of sentient beings as vast in number as the sky is limitless in extent, that we will attain the level of Buddhahood or enlightenment. And in order to do that, we make a commitment to listen and contemplate and meditate upon the teachings.
Tene chiran so ta lobdabare lobdaba chola tawa karchimbu yimesena kunjob tang nangbalola kunjob jetta chor tang toendang jetta chon do duji yogi.
So you are now studying philosophy and view, and that's very important for the Buddhist path. And so this morning we will look at the two different ways or two different views. One is the view according to apparent reality or relative truth, kunzop, and the other is according to ultimate reality or ultimate truth called Dundam. So the first level relates to, we'll look first at the apparent reality, and that relates mainly to what's called kunzop. And in the level or the foundational vehicle, the level of the Shravakayana, the way they understand apparent reality is that they look at samsara, which they consider apparent reality, and they focus on its aspects of being impermanent and suffering. And that is their main way of understanding apparent reality, that it is continually changing and that it is the source of great suffering. And this way of looking at apparent reality had a purpose, and the purpose of it was to reverse or counteract, undermine clinging to the reality of samsara. And then if we come to the tradition of the Mahayana, the great vehicle, there are several schools within the Mahayana, and one of them is called the mind-only school. And this mind-only school understands outer objects, which is another way of speaking of apparent reality, outer objects to be like a dream. And they're like a dream because they arise from our habitual patterns, all the predispositions that we have within our mind. And because of that, they are delusive appearances. And dream appearances are just like that. They come out of our mind. They come from no place else but our own mind. And they are also delusive. They're not, they don't point to something that's truly existent. So the mind-only school then understands outer objects to be like this. They are really like a dream. And from the ultimate point of view, they don't exist.
And
the purpose of this kind of teaching, what's the use of it, is that sentient beings who are clinging to outer objects as being truly existent create a lot of suffering for themselves. So it's in order to counteract that kind of suffering that this is taught.
And
then if we continue looking at the schools within the second turning of the wheel of the Dharma, or the Madhyamaka, the Mahayana, then you have the Prajnaparamita Sutras, and the views based on those sutras are the Madhyamaka school mainly, and that school has several divisions as well. One is called the Rangtong school, and the Rangtong school, in English it means empty of self, and there are two divisions within that, the Svatantrika and the Prasangika. So in general, the Rangtong school, this Madhyamaka Rangtong school that belongs to the second turning of the wheel of Dharma, understands outer objects or relative reality in the following way. Outer objects are not truly existent, but on the other hand, it's not as if there's nothing at all there. There is a kind of apparent reality that arises
through the coming together of various causes and conditions. And so, in this way, they escape falling into faulty views. One would say that things are permanent and truly existent, and the other extreme would say there is nothing at all, it's just a vacuum. And they find a middle way. They're actually called the middle way school. So they find a middle way that falls into neither one of those extremes of permanence or nihilism. And the purpose of this view then is to allow us not to create the suffering for ourselves that we do when we fall into one of these extreme views, either taking objects that appear in front of us to be solid and permanent and real, truly established. So that's a view of permanence, or a clinging to permanence. And the other is that we might think that there's nothing at all there. So in order to reverse this, they say that apparent reality or samsara is like the reflection of the moon in water. That's the way outer objects are. That there is something there. It's not as if there's not nothing there. So there is a reflection of the moon, but it's not something that is truly existent, made up of atoms that are permanent and so forth. So when we use our eyes to look, we see many objects outside. There are various different things that appear to us. And there are two ways of relating to that. One is that when we're using our physical eyes, then there's something that we see. There's something in front of us that we see directly. It's clear. And we have a certain experience of seeing something. So we say that something exists. However, if we use what's called our eye of wisdom, our inner intelligence, our prajna, to analyze this situation of what we see, we come to the conclusion, through this analysis, that they're not truly existent. Okay. And so that is the side of non-existence. If we think about a similar situation with sound, so we're hearing sounds now, and there is an object for our consciousness, the consciousness related to our ear, has a certain object. There's something that it's hearing. And so we have an experience of something like that. So there is something there existing. However, if we use our prajna, our native intelligence, to analyze the situation, and we analyze it down to very, very minute moments, every instant, and into finer moments as well, we come to see that there's actually nothing existent there. And the metaphor for sound then is that sound is like an echo. The visual was like the reflection of the moon and water, and then for the experience of sound, it is sound and emptiness inseparable, or it is like an echo. Or you could say it's like the soundtrack of a movie.
Yang tapar ma mepa ma se thani to yo mare lokpa kunjobre nimme nawante nacho mye nawante yanda kunjobre tisena lokpa kunjob ta yanda kunjob je chepa segre o ma thanjor be lola mulam je nawa lokpa kunjob ta nimme nawante le chepar me se bare chepa yo mare somare karre sana jumsen karre sana mulam yang ngo ma hi pakapso Dedok Sova Chickendog, Nimu Yang, Tony Mato, Bacapso, Dedok Sova Chickery, Chickware Sombre. Oma Tanger below La Yanda Kunz of the Lopokuns of the Chepa Segmer.
Then Yandak, Yandak Mayimbe Kunz of the Milam Drabo.
Rare, what they love
so. So, if we continue looking at the school's different views, we come to the next school. Called the Svatantrika school in Tibetan, the Rangjupa, and this is also a school belonging to the Rangtong tradition, and they understand apparent reality in two aspects. One is the correct, the Yang Dakpe Kunzok, the correct or not perverted apparent reality, and then there is a correct apparent reality. The distinction between the two is the first one they see, an example for the first one would be like a dream. It's a pure projection from one's own mind. And the second one, the correct one, would be what appears to us directly during the daytime as we see things, something we might like seeing Rinpoche here in front of us and so forth. When we come to the second school of the Rangtong, the Prasangika school, which is sometimes called the consequentialist school, they make no difference between these two kinds of apparent reality. And the reason is that they say there's no difference between the suffering and the happiness one experiences in a dream when we don't recognize that we're dreaming, and daytime appearances. So in the previous one, the example for the wrong kind of apparent truth was a dream, and the example for the right kind of apparent truth was daytime. But what the Prasangika school is saying is, well, actually, there's no real difference between the dream and the daytime if you don't recognize you're dreaming while you're dreaming. Because if you don't recognize you're dreaming while you're dreaming, you're suffering in the dream, or you're experiencing happiness in the dream. And in the same way, during the daytime, we also experience suffering and we also experience happiness. So from that point of view, they say there's no difference between the two.
Tena oma lola, oma randong lola, tende nawande, jomatabu hi natavare, jomatabu ngihi te ngangdo, jenjen o kanga jomatavare, malamtavare samdeno, tene jomatabu tingin zinli yagre, gomli yagre, mayinna. Joma malam sambodo. Joma tavo malam tavo. Oh yeah. Then have sambodo.
That's an example of the samadhi, the dreamlike samadhi. Oh, it's like a dream. This is all like a dream. And that's the kind of practice, actually, that's done in this first school of the Rangtong Zi Svatantrika school. Their view is that whatever appears to us as samsara is actually illusion-like or dream-like. And so that is their philosophy. They reflect upon that, develop a certainty in this, and when they come to their meditation, what they practice is the illusion-like samadhi.
Donjer Chamberla de Legacy Pacapso, Tenda would send the Jumatavangi Hiona, Jumatavitting is in Yapo Yungre Samayo.
And so, for you, for example, if you're studying and working here in the city, if you can have this kind of view, oh, this life is like a dream, what appears in front of me is dreamlike, then that will allow meditation to go well.
Tene kolo sumbatawa yendong lola sena kunzob jeta sorte kunzob la tene kunta yenwon yondo sum se gogre kunzob sirje nam nang tamde yemong re namdo yang yemong re sirje nam nang tamde demba re samne demba te namdo katak pchane kunta lan rogre kunta da yemong ni je tongbe Kunda the Yemong Tame Tongba Semje Nelo Wesaram, Semje Nelo Ramzong Yehi Te, Ramzong Yehi Yondobre. The Kunda Yemong Yondob some say God. Did it?
Then, when we come to the third turning of the wheel of Dharma, their philosophy. Is focused on the three nature theory. And those three natures are the imaginary, the dependent, and the perfect nature. And so if one considers apparent reality through this triple focus, then the second one, the dependent nature, would be the mere appearance of phenomena outside. And this also relates to conceptualizing mind, this second nature of the dependent nature. Then the first nature would be the following situation. If a phenomena appear to you, there is a mere appearance. So there you're still in the dependent nature, the second one. But if your mind comes in and says, oh, and that's truly existent, and it's got all these colors, and I like it, and so forth, you start fabricating thoughts on top of that mere appearance, that whole fabrication then belongs to the first nature, the imaginary nature. And the third nature, the perfect nature, sometimes it's called perfectly existent nature, that then is free of these first two natures, the imaginary and the dependent nature. It's free of the stains of those first two natures. And it is the true nature of the mind, radiant clarity, or self-arisen primordial wisdom.
Dembar madro pamran yenge madro ba hi gogundo te hi na tini yemang ke kunto kam namdo to nyumong namdo to nyumong su yemang re tini namdo gantar ba hi gre namdo gantar ba ta kunta ran yenge madro ba hi pa la tin de yemang kunto gantar ba hi song sa na hi na kar la gre oisa la gre oisa te de hi ning bore tele tak pa na wa hi gre tena bore
So what's the need then? What's the purpose of looking at things in this way? Well, usually through this first nature of the imaginary nature, we grasp onto things as being real and truly existent. We take things to have some kind of an inherent nature. And if we come to see that that's not true, that that's a misunderstanding, then we cease to take things as being truly existent. And the second nature then, which we saw was concepts, it also relates to the kleshas, the afflicting emotions. The delusions that come from those then also dissolve. And what we're left with then, once these two mistaken ways of viewing have dissolved, we're left with luminosity. We're left with the clear, radiant nature of the mind. And at that point then, what happens is that various pure appearances arise, or a sacred vision.
Tartok,
So what's the difference then between the Rongtong and the Shantong approach? Well, in the Rongtong approach, the empty of self approach, once all the confusion in our minds has been dissipated, there's nothing left. So from their point of view, ultimately, actually, not only is there nothing left, but even the concept of there being nothing left or something left, all of that kind of conceptualizing thought has been dissipated, all complexity is dissolved. In the Zhentong approach, which is Zhentong means empty of other, it means empty of what's other to the true nature of the mind, so all the stains that cover over the nature of the mind have been dissolved. When that happens, when all our confusion and delusion is dissolved, and all our mental fabrication and complexity is gone, there's something that remains in this school. And what remains is radiant clarity, the true nature of the mind. And out of that arises the various pure appearances. And this is very delightful and very wonderful. In the Vajrayana, just to touch on this briefly, what happens here is that everything arises as emptiness and appearance inseparable, and this then turns into the various manifestations of the deities and their mandalas. And then to look briefly, so we've been looking now at kunzop, or apparent reality, outer objects, how that's understood in the different schools, and the need for coming to see them as not truly existent. Then if we look at the ultimate reality, that's not so much looking at outer objects as it is looking into one's own mind. So in looking, how is it that these various schools look into the mind? How do they understand the mind? And if we start out at the same place we did before, with the Shravaka school or the foundational vehicle, what they focus on is the non-existence of the self, of a self and the person. That's how they understand. Then if we come into the Mahayana and we look again at the mind-only school, then they understand mind ultimately to be empty of perceiving subject and perceived object. They understand both of these to arise from the delusion of habitual patterns. They come out of habitual ways of perception that we've had for a very long time. And that's what creates apparent reality for us. And apparent reality is constituted of dualistic perception. So all of that delusive appearance that's related to perceived subject and perceiving object, that dissolves or is dissipated, and one discovers the mind, the nature of the mind, that is empty of any kind of duality.
The Omaranju Tatar Jesemde chek yang mare toma yang mare chek ta tome ran yin lin de ba re chek ta tome ran yin lin de ba se na ta tar je sem la ngo mon ro nam ka ta re do ta tar je sem tong pan nam ka ta ta so te ga ran re te le yin da go
ayo. And when we come to the Rangtong school, then the first school we looked at before was the Svatantrika school. And how do they understand this present mind of this very moment? And they use a lot of logic to come to understand that. And one of the reasonings that they use is that of being beyond existing as one or existing as a multiplicity. So that kind of existence is transcended. And through that, they come to understand that the mind has no essence. It has no essence, and they use a metaphor to understand that, which is it's like the sky. So the mind is without a solid permanent essence and resembles the sky, and that sky. Is how they meditate. They get spaced out, you know.
Tanjur jitāngā vāngdā sē nā tōngbā nāṅkā tāpā tēyā nāṅdō lā nāṅvā rē tōngjāng nāṅkā tāpā tēyā nāṅdō kā nāṅcā rē tōngbā yāng tōngbā nāṅkā tāpā tēyā nāṅdō kā nāṅcā rē nāṅdō lā nāṅvā rē tōngbā yāng mā rūpā rē tēnē trūpā tāṅ chē trā vā rē tōng tāṅ mā tōngbā trūpā tāṅ chē ndē vā
Then we come to the Prasangika school, which was the second one among the Rangtong schools. And they say, well, thinking that emptiness is like the sky is a concept. And emptiness actually transcends all concept. It's beyond all kinds of complexity or mental elaboration. And so that's their way of understanding the ultimate nature of the mind, that it transcends anything you could say about it.
Then Yendong Lola Carre Yendong Lola Jay Lamanta Timber Yendong Lola, same to Tatar, same Janelo de Ranjay Tat the Tonjang Samyamare, Tanjur Tat the Tripa Yasayamare, same Janelo Ranginji Wu Sarva Ranginji Wu Sarva de la Mola Tramame Petame Ranginji Tapa Mola Morang. Then Tanyi Lendeba, Natun Tata Tanyi Yawang the Senna was a Tanyi Jabaramato, Mene Tanyi Lendeba, Tanyi Lendeba, Nyambar Yana Sarsangi, Tars Tangsangi, Sartong Langi, Sarchata Tanja Yoba, Tona Tingani, Tenny Takpa Nawa, Naso Hirchopa, Hankamja Nawata, Gota Hankanja Nawa, Naso Hirchopa, Tenda Ujiri.
So then if we come to the Zhentong view, the empty of other view, that is clearly expressed in a text called The Changeless Nature, which will be taught here next fall by Punlop Rinpoche, so you have a chance to look at it more carefully. And according to that text, then the true nature of the this very present mind is not a mere emptiness, as it's explained in the Prasangika school. It's not just that all mental complexity has been dissolved, but the mind's nature is also luminous. It has this radiant and clear quality to it. And so once all the stains that cover over our seeing, everything that veils our seeing, this true nature of the mind, once those have been pacified, then what we come to experience is this radiant, clear nature of the mind, because that was never stained in any way. But it also transcends any kind of verbal conventions, any kind of concepts we could put onto it. So it's not that we're sitting again thinking, oh, the mind is radiant clarity. We have to use those words to point us in that direction. But when we come to that realization, it's beyond any kind of words that would describe it. Rinpoche was saying there are words in Tibetan that don't really have a literal meaning. They're like words of experience, onomatopoetic words of experience, like sel sangewa. And that points to the this experience of the clear nature of the mind. Mm-hmm. And and when one realizes this, you remain within that clear nature of the mind, and out of that then arises various appearances, such as the deities, such as the mandalas, and so forth. There's a metaphor that makes this situation easy to understand, and that's of a crystal. And if you have a crystal, which would be like the mind, this clear, radiant, clear nature of the mind, and if the crystal is struck by the light rays, then as we all know, the rainbows appear on the walls. So those rainbows aren't something outside. They're something that comes... They come from the play of the mind. It's the play of the mind then that is also creating the mandalas and the deities and all the visions that arise for bodhisattvas or people who have a deeper level of realization of this nature of the mind.
Tap chepar chin la tin de gombe, tene tsova tamche, tsova donga tamche, deva la shatopa, nawa tamche, de dong de shatopa nyamni tenda wore.
Yeah. And in the Vajrayana, then, there is an additional understanding of the mind that comes through these teachings. The Vajrayana understands the true nature of the mind to be radiant clarity. And in addition to that, there is the understanding that it is also emptiness and bliss inseparable. And it uses various upaya or skillful means to come to this realization. And through that then, all feelings, experiences that one might have, for example, even suffering, arise as bliss. And all appearances also, whatever appears to one, that is merely a way of bringing to rise again the experience of bliss and emptiness. There's a song of Milarepa's that was sung at Yomo, which is a... There's a song of Milarepa's that was sung at Yomo, which is a place in Nepal, and that song speaks of 18 different kinds of bliss. At the tiger fortress lion cave. Milarepa gave names to his different caves. So there's a cave that has this name in Nepal, and there's a cycle of songs that he sang in connection with it. You can find it in the book of his, the two books of his songs. And there, in one of the songs he sang at Yomo, he speaks of 18 different kinds of bliss, and one of them is the bliss of suffering arising as bliss. So in this way, he's always remaining in bliss. Whatever hard times he's going through, they are merely the the source, the juice that brings up of the bliss, the blissful experience. So whatever problems, whatever difficulties, whatever hardships he's going through, they merely arise for him as a blissful experience. And there's a reason for this. In the philosophy, the Buddhist philosophy, there's a reason why everything arises as bliss or can arise as bliss. And Milarepa gives that in another song that he sang at Gyomo called The Song of the Three Nails. And there it said that the nature of the mind is aware, clear, and blissful. So that's that is the very nature of the mind. It is radiant clarity. It is self-arisen, self-aware, primordial wisdom. And there is a natural bliss that is within the depths of the mind itself. So, this has been a brief explanation of the different ways of viewing apparent reality and ultimate reality. And I've given this to you because you are studying now. And when you are studying, you need to know the different stages of practice. You need to know where you're going, what the path is, and it's like building a road. When you first build a road, you have to see where you're going. You have to get out your survey instruments and lay down a path. So this is has been a survey course here for the first a survey of the relative and ultimate truth.
Tene ngoma nge ko son chiran su chuenjok da joy lama lobjong sebar se te hida ya po re chuenjok da samba samba nyin je sanjuk sem je gomre ma ta chang ya po yere tene tong ni ji xie ba ya po yere rang dong re tene joy lama de yin dong re te ni da ha chang yong ya po re chiran su ngoma chu tene lobjong te ya po do tene ji so lo yong ma la oman jok pa rāntaṁ tā thāñjur ca tāvāre yāng yoy lāma yin tōṁ ca tāvāre lopchūṁ sa yāti pē yākpa dham tōṁ, yākpa rīn tōṁ. Mārāpē.
Rinpoche says, I've heard that you've been studying the Bodhicaryavatara, and that's the Bodhisattva's guide, the guide to the Bodhisattva's way of life. Chūnjū kārīla. And that's very good because it teaches the development of compassion, and how to give rise to bodhicitta, which are very, very important for the path. And it also teaches about emptiness, in particular from the rangtong point of view. So that's been very good. And you've also been studying the julama, the changeless nature, and that presents the shentong view. So that's very good. And next year, you will have the chance to study with Puma Rinpoche the Madhyamakavatara, which presents both the Svatantrika view
and Tanjurpa.
Rangjuba Sungso.
Karema Lama Song Tanjur Chitaba.
Tajurgi Tawad the Umalajuba the Swat Rangjuba Dam.
Marama Tanjurba
Tajurba Matab. Sorry. The Prasangika view. And then also you'll be looking at the changeless nature again and having a chance to study the Shantong view. So that's very excellent.
Then Joy Lama the young Saja Chembo, the Zokwa Chembo Gom the Joy Lama the Kar Chembore.
And also, if you are planning on going ahead and meditating in the tradition of the Mahamudra or Mahasandhi Dzogchen, then the changeless nature of the Chu Lama is very important. So you've had the opportunity to start it with Zikr Control, which has been wonderful, and then Sarah Harding is teaching you now, and she's had the experience of being on 3-year retreat, so she understands very well the view according to the Vajrayana and Mantrayana, and also she's had a lot of meditative experience, so you're very lucky there as well. And this winter Punlop Rinpoche will be coming to teach you, and you're also very fortunate there. He was at the land at Rumtek, studying in the institute there. He spent 9 years studying, and he knows texts extremely well. He was the first among all the students in the institute there. And also, he knows English. No, I don't know English, but I'm told he speaks it very well. So you're lucky there too, because you can, if you have a teacher that needs a translator, it takes 2 hours to say what you'd normally get in one. So you'll be able to study much more rapidly with Punlop Rinpoche. And I also think you're very lucky, because Punlop Rinpoche is also a tuku, and so that means for many lifetimes he's been practicing, listening, reflecting, and meditating on the teachings, and that means he has a special depth, and there's a special power and blessing to his teaching.
Gomba Dzogchen re, Tanda Sakhin Tan Dzogchen, Kajui Tanya Masung Dredda Nyamnyin Sikire, Tani Pe Yabudu.
So he studied in Rumtek, which is a Kargyu institute, but his monastery, Zatuku, is Dzogchen, which is a Nyingma monastery. So he's combining these two traditions of the Kargyu and the Nyingma. He's combining the Mahamudra and the Mahasandhi or Mahaati teaching. So that's also a very rich opportunity for you.
And
he also sees that ultimately these two views are the same. And he's also doing work that's extremely beneficial both to the Kargyu and the Nyingma lineages, in that he's taking very important texts and entering them into the computer to make them available in the future. He's very interested in computers, so that's also will be interesting for you.
This is the day, so yeah. Yoma nyamlenje kapso kajui zo sana ya digere, nyingma zo sana digere, yapore, tini nyika sungde do zo sana ya, tini yapo yore, Punlo Rinpoche, tisori yapo yungre sambayo.
So in the future then, if you want to come and do meditation practice as well, you can do the Kargyu, follow the Kargyu tradition or the Nyingma tradition, or you can do them both combined together.
So Serap going to Tusan Gomsom Sepa, Serap going to Yindon Sepa, Mulam Jaya Yang Karchimbre. Take what came below.
So now, according to the, if one looks at your situation from the Mahayana point of view, then you're very, very fortunate. And understanding how fortunate you are, if you study with that kind of joy and delight, realizing how lucky you are to be able to study like this, that is considered the accumulation of merit as well. And then it's also important to make aspirations that through listening, reflecting, and meditating on the teachings that you will be able to benefit many sentient beings for many lifetimes. So, do you have any questions? If you have them, please raise your hand.
When.
If you experience suffering as bliss,
pain,
pleasurable, or do you experience them both at the same time?
Dugna devar chawa.
Tani kapti la nyamnyo di kandu yo me kongla samadhangi yo.
Tere?
Tani nyamnyo di dugnya di devar drabo nyongiri ve dugnya dang devar duchi la nyongiri.
Te tato de dunga da devar nyamba nyi di nyongiri. Dunga devar chawa la muna ngon shepan ra wos. Sirruja na wala denbar shepa se gogundo. Sirruja nāvala dēmbari khenpa yōna dōngā dēvā khyatukumadō. Sirruja nāvala dēmbari khenpa nāmdō ka drip tīgirē. Sirruja dēmbari khenpa mī mīla ngō khyabandabu yōna tē dōngā dēvā khyatukumadō.
What happens is that the equal nature of pleasure and of suffering is experienced, or pain and suffering. Their equal, their ultimate equal nature is experienced. And usually what happens is that we cling to both of them, to suffering and to happiness as truly existence. And that blocks us from seeing their true nature. It's like not recognizing that we're dreaming while we're dreaming. And at that point, we take what's happening in the dream to be real and have experiences in the dream of pain and suffering. Whereas if we recognize that we're dreaming, while we're dreaming, that cuts through clinging to those appearances as truly existent. And that allows us then to come to see the equal nature, to experience the equal nature of pain and suffering. Their ultimate nature is the same.
Mlanje Torva Devata Dungany Puti, Mlango Mahipakapsu Nihora Mato, Mlanje Torva Devata Dungany, Nelong Omanyamba Nire, Tejindo Devata Dungate, Namton Travare Mato.
While we're dreaming, if we don't recognize it, then there are the experiences of bliss and of suffering. It's our delusive conceptualizing mind that clings to these as two separate things. But from the perspective of their true nature, they're not two separate things. They have an equal nature. And understanding like that, we can see that bliss and suffering are actually just delusions that come from our conceptualizing mind, that their ultimate nature is equality. So that's what we have to come to realize.
Donga devar khar ba nyam nyong rawo te mla ngo hi ba kap sa sam sa yong re mla ngo hi na deva te donga le che ba yo ma re da ta ni la yin che ba yo ma ko yang pa yang ra we cha ba yong re ten du ka ko to ga
So if we realize then this equal nature of phenomena, then that's when suffering arises as bliss. And sometimes when we have this experience of recognizing that we're dreaming, that can happen. We experience bliss, suffering is bliss, or we see no difference between suffering and bliss, or no difference between friends and enemies. And there is a very spacious and open quality to that kind of experience of recognizing the dream while we're dreaming. And the reason this kind of experience is possible is because for the true nature of the mind, there is no suffering. It's not something permanent and solid and so forth. It is the delusion of our conceptualizing mind that we don't recognize. Once we recognize it, it dissolves, and we come to then see this true nature of the mind.
Okay. When to chirang when re.
So actually, it's only he's the one that can know. However, there are different ways of explaining this. You know, there are different kinds of union that one experiences through meditation, and since it's a meditation experience, it's the experiencer that knows it. But within the tradition, union then is spoken of in different ways. For example, you can speak of the inseparability of bliss and emptiness. So that might have been what he was experiencing. Or also in the Vajrayana, we talk about the inseparability of the illusory body and the luminous mind. So what happens is that through one's meditative experiences, one comes to understand that one's body is like an illusion. And on the other side of the subject-object equation, the mind is radiant clarity or luminosity. And those two then blend together. They're sort of raised to a deeper, higher level, and they're able then to enter into this higher level of union. So that's also sometimes called an explanation of union. So, within Buddhism, we speak of different kinds of union. They're all, however, there are four main kinds that Rinpoche just mentioned, and they're all a union with emptiness. We speak of appearance and emptiness inseparable or in union, radiant clarity and emptiness inseparable or in union, bliss and emptiness inseparable, and awareness and emptiness inseparable. So you'll notice emptiness is a constant with all of those, and the emptiness points to the fact that there's no existent essence in this. And the union just means that they are inseparable. And a message you can also take back to your friend is, and also for all of us it applies, if one has these kind of unusual experiences such as bliss and emptiness and so forth while one's meditating, it's very important not to cling to them, not to grasp onto them, not to think, oh, I'm special because I've had this experience or this is something unusual and so forth, but just to let it go on its own. And if one can do that, then one, it will increase the depth of one's meditation. So, we're taught not to cling to the objects that we see as truly existent. And of course, that would also apply to our meditative experiences. We shouldn't cling to them as truly existent either. So now, I think we have... I've given you a lot to think about this morning, so I hope your studies will go well with that.
Tada drum, took your dices, Jarve Kusung took your dices, Nender, Nimo dele, Tendele, Nime Koyon dele, Nim Tentado dele, Bakuin Josom Jetrace. Cheranzo, Madame Jaya, you will indicate.
Do you do dedication?
No.
Mendo?
Oh, yeah, tending it.
And as a final wish for you, I wish that you will deepen your understanding through listening, reflecting, and meditating, and will be able to benefit limitless sentient beings.
Okay.
Yeah.
On behalf of everyone,
thank
you so much, Rinpoche, for coming. Yeah. Please come back again soon.
Okay. So in order to develop your loving kindness and compassion, it's very good to practice the 7 points of mind training. There's an excellent book by Trungpa Rinpoche, which would be good for you to study.
Okay.